B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen retreats. Here comes Chris Jones, but he floats a pass over the middle. It's going to be intercepted. Dirty Dan Sorensen with the pick. A one-handed grab and the eighth pick of Dirty Dan's career.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen.
Oh, they're making it happen, all right. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Frabito, Adam Jones is here. Albert Breer with us for one more segment. Buffalo Bills, lighting the world on fire. They were 4-0 to start the season. They've lost two in a row. Bert, what's happening in Buffalo?
You ever been to game up there, Jones, where people just stand in their own trash and not fecal matter?
No. I mean, it sounds awesome, but no, I've never been. No.
Where they warm their hands in certain places?
Jonesy Pigskin's got to make the trip.
Someday.
It's a beautiful thing. I love Buffalo fans.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's very, like, that's the one place where the real fans have been priced out, I would say. Fair to say so?
Yeah. It's one place where you could drive your home to a game and party in it and then drive it back. You know?
All right. Is there cause for concern in Buffalo right
now?
Yeah.
I think part of it was injuries, right? So they played without Tre'Davious White against the Titans. They've had issues on their defensive backfield in general and injuries over the last few weeks. And, you know, playing against a Tennessee team that, like, Brian Tannehill, I'm not sure people realize, like, how well he's played over the last year. But going up against him and then Pat Mahomes, I think that's going to create an issue. So part of it is that. I still think that there's been like some discipline issues the last couple of weeks too that I think we're not really used to seeing from a Sean McDermott team. So my radar's up there and Josh Allen's been more up and down. And so there is reason for concern. They've still got, a really good roster, a lot of ascending young players, but the injury issue on defense, the way the defense is played in general, and then, you know, like Allen's up and downs, I think at least give you some reason to think, maybe this is more of a 9 or 10 win team than the 12 win team that we thought it was a few weeks ago.
Well, I think you hit on it. Like the first sign of adversity, or maybe the second sign, because it was their second loss that they experienced. They're doing things that you're not expecting from McDermott coach team. The late hit out of bounds.
There were two of them, which
one of them will be the easiest call that official will have to make all year. It was egregious. And then Diggs walking back to the line of scrimmage when, you know, the game is still in the, you know, the outcome, the issue was still in doubt. And, you know, you make a play here, you get a playoff, and instead just it seems like they kind of checked out at what was only going to be their second loss, as you said, Bert, against a good team. It just makes you wonder what, like, the makeup of this team is if they start acting like that. When they're not even suffering a loss, they're just losing to a good team. It's like, are you going to fight this thing out, or are you automatically going to start, you know, playing Polly Pissy Pants and start acting like you're really not meant to be here? Because that's kind of what they look like.
It's weird too, because I think like some of the COVID circumstances, I think it's starting to get to some people. I thought Bill mentioning the practice thing. I thought that was super out of character. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought when he brought that up.
Which time?
Like on
last
Sunday
week,
after the game.
Last week, today.
Like when he brought that up, like that was Monday. I can imagine he feels that way. I'm surprised that he said it, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of felt like you're offering your players up an excuse, which, I mean, to me, like that seemed out of character for Bill to do that. And so the Patriots have been through it, obviously.
I think it's frustration, too.
Stephen Cam, yeah, right. Like, so look at Buffalo, though. Buffalo didn't even have an outbreak. Yet, like, if you go back 10 days, at one point, they were actually having to prepare for the Titans and the Chiefs at the same time because we weren't sure if they were going to play the Titans on Tuesday or the Chiefs on Thursday. So that fouled up their preparation for that week. And then coming off of that Tuesday night game, that weird Tuesday night game, now they got to play on consecutive short weeks because it's Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, right? Like, so, like, you start to wonder with some of these things, like, are the circumstances, how weird everything is and how routine's being thrown off, like, if these sorts of things are starting to get to some people, you know? And so it's just something I've sort of noticed the last couple of weeks with the teams that have been affected by it. And that's why, quite honestly, that's why I've been so impressed with the Titans, because like Mike Vrabel, say what you will about what happened in that building or whatever, like his team has been locked in through all of this.
He was not happy about the reporting on the third field. We have audio of that. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Oh, no.
He got a little testy with a reporter who asked him a question about something that was happening on a field that they're not supposed to report on. I don't know what Bert, you probably know what all the protocols are for, you know, different teams and what you're allowed to comment on. Yeah, but there was something. We'll get to that a little bit later on.
Hmm. So, Bert, we just came up with this. Contenders, pretenders, right? Oh. We're a month in.
It's catchy.
I feel like this has the potential to catch on. It sounds like you believe Buffalo is a contender, though, right? You still think they're a 10, 12-win team, so you're not writing them off?
No, I think they're still, I mean, like, there's still a lot of good there. And, you know, again, you know, once they get healthier in the secondary, if they can return to some level of normalcy, like, I thought like the Josh Allen we saw at the start of the Tennessee game and really the couple of weeks before that, like I thought his development was off the charts. And I think that's in large part thanks to a guy who used to be here in Brian Daboll, who I think's done a great job with him. So I think they're very much a contender, and I expect them to probably win the division and have somewhere between 10 and 12 wins.
How about another 4-2 team in the Cleveland Browns? Contender, pretender.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
I would say pretender
based on what we saw on Sunday. And I just think that they, given the moment, that's a big rivalry game in that area of the country, as big a game as they've played, that franchise has played in a long time. They just got blown off the field.
And how about that team they played?
The team's rolling. The Steelers are rolling. And I don't think that – and Tomlin's another one right there with Vrabel. They've handled the circumstances of all of this really well. But I think, you know, to me, Cleveland's that team that, like, I think you're going to continue to see glimmers of what they might be, but I still think they're probably about a year away.
I got another 4-2 team.
Ooh.
Contender or pretender, Indianapolis Colts.
They're 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah, I guess I have to say pretender because they lost to the Browns the week before, and I just called the Browns a pretender.
Transitive contender.
What if that quarterback gets hot, though?
Methodology.
What if that quarterback gets hot?
When you're talking about like being at the highest level, pretender. But they sort of strike me as the team that's going to wind up with that seventh seed. You know what I mean? Like they're the team that's like I think could wind up getting it. Like they've got a – if they had Andrew Luck right now, you know, and I know that's going to be the big thing that's going to hang over them until they find the next one. But if they had Andrew Luck right now, I think that that's a roster that you could win 12 or 13 games with. I just don't know how much Phillip Rivers has left.
Okay. How about Tampa Bay? They're 4-2. They're in the 4-2 grouping. Oh. Contender, pretender.
Contender. Yeah. Like that
defense. I didn't even get to get that out. He's just jumping the gun on me. Well, what if I threw a different question?
It's not
at
even about
how about a different about, team that he has to think about.
It's not even about Brady and the offense. Like this reminds defense. Me a lot. This reminds me a lot of the situation Brett Favre was in 2009, not the second year in Minnesota, the first year in Minnesota when he had that great year and they wound up in the NFC title game because that roster was so well rounded. The defense looks like it's better than the offense right now. If you guys watch that game against the Packers,
well, the quarterback can't count to four.
I mean, you'd say you would say that Tampa was better on the defensive side of the ball. And they've got horses on that side. Like the two linebackers, White and David, are excellent. A lot of good veteran players on their front and good young players in the secondary. And like they don't even need Tom to throw for 300 yards to win because the running game's rolling now too. So I think they're very much a contender.
Let me show you how this is done.
Yes, okay. I failed there. I came up with a catchy name and everything and I failed.
And just to keep the playing field level, I'll stick with the 4-2 teams here.
Oh,
the Los Angeles Rams.
Pretender. Come on.
He's defense ain't the same. Think about
that defense.
He's thinking about it.
I think pretender.
Hardy's so good at this.
Attaboy.
I'd say pretender. I think Seattle wins that division. Yep. The Rams could be like my Colts equivalent for the NFC where they could be the team that sneaks in at 7 wins. Like I think the Rams, they went through a little bit of a reset this offseason where they basically remade the entire coaching staff. And so I think you're going to see them pop up and sort of game they had again, like the second half they had against Buffalo. And then I think you're going to see it kind of come back to the mean a little bit. So I think they're probably like an off season of free agent signings and draft picks away from from being where they need to be, back where they need to be.
And just to show you, I'm not, you know, playing favorites with the 4-2 teams. I could go Cardinals also, but I think they're absolute pretenders. I mean, one of their losses is to the Lions, you know.
And that's your bar, right, is the Lions?
Well, and we were talking about Kyler Murray and how bad he looked in that win over the Cowboys.
Hardy,
it's just, what?
I think your hometown Lions are only a half game out of the playoff picture.
Stop it.
I think that's true.
Don't tease.
Like, it's a game, or that's your hometown team, right? Like, so like, yes. I think they're only a half game out of the playoff picture right now.
Did Matt Patricia save his job here recently? I mean, was he on the outs?
It's unpredictable. I think that they're definitely feeling the heat. I think it's unpredictable right now because the owner is new. The daughter actually, you know, became the controlling owner in the off season. And whenever there's somebody new in charge, it's sort of like you don't really know how they're going to handle it. You know, like the same way you didn't know like how Martha Ford was going to handle it when she got the team from her husband. Now you don't know how the daughter's really going to handle this going forward. So, you know, his job is certainly on the line. I think everyone in football ops, their jobs are all on the line. Whether or not they would do something in midseason, I think is sort of up in the air because the owner doesn't have track record.
All right, Bert. We appreciate the time as always. Thanks for sticking for an extra segment. It's always good to talk to you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Bert.
There goes Albert Breer.
Hey, can I read you Detroit's schedule?
Yeah. Coming up? Yeah.
At Jacksonville.
They won.
Okay, so they won that. So they're at Atlanta.
Yep.
Winnable game. At Indianapolis. Winnable game.
Yep. Loss.
No, they're home against Indianapolis.
Okay. Vikings. Vikings the next week. At Vikings.
Loss.
Winnable.
Loss.
Come on. Vikings are terrible this year.
Home against the Washington football team.
Loss.
Stop it.
Panthers after that.
Loss.
Houston.
Loss.
Tough ending to the schedule.
Titans, Bucks.
Green Bay.
Yeah, it's Green Bay, Titans,
Chicago.
Bucks.
Chicago's good.
It's Patricia. They're all losses.
Yeah.
No,
they're going to get hot and then they're going to tank.
Here's what's going to suck.
They're going to get hot.
They're going to win 4 in a row.
Yep. And then they're going to tank.
And they're going to beat the Falcons. They're going to beat the Colts. And then they're going to get what is going to be deemed a quality win. They're going to get a quality win at Minnesota. Then they're going to lose at home to an awful Washington team.
Yeah, I agree with.
And then they're going to lose to a couple more bad teams, and then they hit the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Then they get the real test in the Packers and the Titans and the Bucks and
Chicago.
They're going to provide some false hope here for a few weeks. Yeah, that's what will happen. It's fine, whatever. Everyone wants to give me a hard time about the Lions, and what you don't understand is that I am so used to it. It doesn't even affect
it's
me.
So
anymore.
Yesterday for you, like it's
to, whatever. Whatever.
So 2000 and late.
You want to talk some more Mookie Betts here, or would you rather focus in on what maybe some Red Sox players think about?
Ooh,
having Alex Cora back as manager. I'll leave it up to you guys.
So,
can I add something into the mix?
Oh, please.
Absolutely.
We have A-Rod making historical comparisons to Mookie Betts from last night.
That sounds like that. More fun. That's, yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen retreats. Here comes Chris Jones, but he floats a pass over the middle. It's going to be intercepted. Dirty Dan Sorensen with the pick. A one-handed grab and the eighth pick of Dirty Dan's career.
The Bills make me want to shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout.
Oh, they're making it happen, all right. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Fabito, Adam Jones is here. Albert Breer with us for one more segment. Buffalo Bills.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To sports,
they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's a guy that they don't worry about not being motivated because of all the money, Kenny Rosenthal. I mean, he's been everything they could have hoped for when they gave up young players to get him, and even more.
Joe, the Red Sox are going to have to live with this for a long, long time. And they had opportunities to sign Betts. They tried to sign Betts. They obviously did not offer him the deal that he felt was acceptable. And, yes, they got back Alex Verdugo, and they got back Jeter Downs, an infield prospect. Yes, they created financial flexibility by also purging David Price's contract. But this is a transcendent player. He's baseball's LeBron James. I don't know that you can ever trade a player like that.
Yeah.
So that was last night during Game 1 of the World Series, which the Dodgers won thanks in large part to Mookie Betts.
Oh, that's who they were talking about.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, though. Mookie Betts played for the Red Sox. He's a good player.
He's making me so negative just being near him in the same room. Like, just condescending comments I have now coming out.
Red Sox could not come to terms with Mookie Betts, and instead, they traded him.
They threw that term out there again, financial flexibility.
Well, the credit card bill was due then, so they
roll it over.
Once again, I don't think you can draw a direct correlation between Linda's spending habits and the inability or the decision to trade a transcendent player like Mookie
Betts. You can't not draw a correlation either.
Let me ask you this on an extremely serious note.
Yep.
Do you think that like the reaction and the commentary even affects them?
Yes.
Because they may, I say this, that he and her, I think, love the Liverpool thing so much. And being in Europe and the soccer thing that I think soccer's one to them and baseball's too.
Good shopping in Europe, yeah.
Well, give the cone licking too.
Yeah.
The gelato.
Oh, that, yes.
Remember when he came in the studio and they had to take down the picture? Because remember the old studio, we had that picture hanging of them sharing the gelato?
Yeah, I wasn't here for the storming it event. That was during my sports on hiatus. Yes, yes.
ESPN days.
Yep. Very professional, yeah. Uh-huh. So, to answer your question, yeah, I think the Dodgers winning the World Series and Mookie Betts playing like he did last night, like being World Series.
Does it affect him and her?
I think that would be a good thing for Red Sox fans because, you know, if the Dodgers.
The billionaires think that way. Like, that's my point.
I don't know if all billionaires do. They definitely do. They definitely overreact to bad press. That 100% they do. So I think Red Sox fans should be rooting for Mookie and the Dodgers to win.
Here's some more bad press from Ken Rosenthal. He wrote this morning.
Oh, how dare he?
No, it's not the sale of Babe Ruth.
I did sign off. I was against that trade at the time. I said, don't do it, Harry. What are you thinking?
Mookie Betts probably is not going to hit 659 home runs in a Dodgers uniform the way Ruth did for the Yankees. But heaven knows how
much. Babe Ruth, no Stan Musial.
Heaven knows how much Betts might continue to embarrass the Red Sox, assuming club officials are capable of being embarrassed while basking in their newfound financial flexibility.
Ow. That's that word again. It's the financial flexibility. That's the dagger. Like, you got him.
Yeah.
I
don't think that's enough of a dagger.
Transcendent player.
Cheap. That would be the dagger. They cheaped out. Financial flexibility is not that's not enough of a dagger. No, they cheaped out.
Yeah. Here's where
that's
I'm
the Schefter of baseball saying that to an owner.
Well, here's where
that's
I'm really.
That's a dig from a guy like that. That's a huge dig.
I'm in lockstep with him on this.
You're dead to me, Kenny.
The verdict is in. Not that it was ever much in doubt. The Red Sox should not have traded Betts. They should have retained him for his final season of club control. Even if it might have made little difference for a team that finished 24-36, they should have kept trying to sign him, even if it meant waiting until he hit the open market. And let's not forget, the embarrassment of riches they got in return for that deal. That's what is always thrown back in my face, and get nothing for him. I'm like, yeah, that's what you got. In comparison, you got nothing.
I will give them this. Doesn't the deal look a little better today than it did when they made the return? The return. Maybe I shouldn't say the deal. Doesn't the return look a little better today than the day they made it? Like, Verdugo might be able to play a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, he was pretty good last year. From the stats I read, I didn't watch a lot of them, but the stats look pretty good on paper.
I just see what I saw last night and say, no, not today. Today is the wrong day. Yeah, if you had asked me 2 days ago.
The return. Maybe not bets in Dodger blue, which I would agree with Zoe. I think you said this off the air, Zoe. Nice looking unis on the Dodgers.
Clean.
Two days ago, it looked better. Yes. Today, it does not look better. Because yeah. I just watched Mookie Betts in the World Series.
My roundabout point is I think Verdugo can play a little bit. So you haven't completely struck out on that deal, but they never should have gotten to this point with Mookie Betts.
Trade a player this transcendent, an athlete this electrifying, and you get what you deserved. I describe Betts as baseball's LeBron James on the Fox broadcast. We've already listened to that. A comment that some will view as an exaggeration considering Mike Trout is the better player. Well, this isn't a war calculation. It's not Trout's fault. He played for an Angels team that has reached the postseason only once in his 10-year career. Betts, by contrast, is appearing in his fourth postseason and second World Series, commanding the spotlight on the biggest stage. He is utterly magnetic, a 5'9", 180-pound marvel. You can't take your eyes off him.
He likes the little guy.
Well, you can
if little guy likes
if
little
the
guy.
Office is on, you can. But
or there's a steel drum band playing in your neighbor's driveway.
That happened.
You want to hear what A-Rod had to say about
yes.
that?
Yes.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. Jim teased that. Yep.
Let's hear Joel Sherman, the writer for the New York Post, called him the modern-day Willie Mays. You know, for Laker fans, I think he is what Magic Johnson brought to the very stoic Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? I mean, look at this smile. It is the Magic Johnson smile. It's a billion-dollar smile. But it's the athleticism. He's got Roberto Clemente defensive skills. He was a former second baseman coming up in the minor leagues. But he can hit for power. He can hit for contact. He's a game changer. And I believe that if Corey Seager wasn't the MVP, I called Mookie Betts the silver medal because he would have won the MVP strictly with his glove.
Ow.
I mean, if you could win that with your glove, what would Jackie Bradley be then? If you could just strictly win it with your glove.
He is an ALCS MVP.
Right.
Joining a very long, illustrious list. Elsadiz Escobar. who was the bum-ass third baseman for the Cardinals who was like a World Series MVP? What was his name?
Carpenter?
No. Maybe it wasn't a third baseman.
Oh, David Freese?
Yes, David Freese.
A long time ago.
Yep. Yeah, a list like that, you know. So, he already is an ALCS MVP. Yeah.
And Willie Mays, and LeBron James, and Magic Johnson, and Roberto Clemente.
All of a sudden, it's Roberto Clemente.
it's not so much that the conversation today
Magic
is
Johnson,
about how
Willie Mays.
How you know magnetic, transcendent, game-changing Mookie Betts is. It is the doubling up by Rosenthal and others of saying how badly you have to feel
if you're
the Red Sox right now. What a mistake. What an absolute boneheaded move. At the very least, let him play out his contract. Keep trying to sign him. Yeah, how do you let a player like this go? And you didn't let him go. You traded him. You traded him. You didn't even put forth the full effort and play it out to the end.
Look at that. Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh. How can you do that? What a mistake. A mistake of franchise changing proportion. That's the commentary today.
Yeah, it's A-Rod, whatever, but Ken Rosenthal, it's not good when Ken Rosenthal is giving you a swirly and putting you in a headlock.
And then he writes about it the next day.
Giving you noogies. That's not good when little Ken Rosenthal is
he
doing that.
He said it, he slept on it, and then he said it again.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna double down on this.
I'm a Ken Rosenthal puppet. See, there's a lot of things. Like, a lot of people are using puppets now. Like, well, Hardy's started, I am Ken Rosenthal, and I'm the little guy.
Hey, don't you dare
really
mock me.
Screwed up the Mookie Betts thing.
How dare you mock me?
How dare you?
Put a sock in it.
Financial flexibility.
Who is that? Senor Wenceslao? Who is that? Who is the guy who used to do that?
Cartman. Cartman had Jennifer Lopez. He had a Jennifer Lopez hand puppet.
Oh, tremendous amount of South Park references on the night show. I mean, you guys go deep.
Yeah, I watch like two shows. That's one of them, yeah.
Well, Arcan must be like...
Talk about Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Pooh?
That's too mainstream.
I mean, what's up with him?
They go Clyde Frog.
Comes once a year and makes a mess.
Yeah, they go deep characters. They go, you know, way down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue talking a little bit more baseball if we want to. We should probably get calls if you want to. 617-779-0985. There's a chance the Super Bowl might get moved. There's talk about that. There's talk about the Saints returning. I think it all goes back to one of the conversations we had back in March, which we will revisit after what is supposed to be a hub headlines here. Now, Jones?
Yeah, what?
Again, I'm a journalism major,
read the scores,
so
Jones.
You know, maybe you weren't taught this, but you're supposed to deliver the news and it without comment.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe
give it a shot.
Do it like Sarge would.
Give it a shot.
Well, Mookie Betts became the first player in World Series history.
That's the first line.
Okay. Well, let's see how it goes this time. All right. Add your own flair to it, but let's see if you can do it without comment. Here we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future, forget my past.
All right, I have the ages. The Spice Girls pulled up here.
This is going to tell a lot.
Ginger Spice, born April 1975.
She aged the worst out of all of them, I bet. What I mean?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I want to.
Sporty Spice, born January 1974.
I bet she got thick.
Posh Spice, born April 1975. Ginger Spice, born August 72.
Oh, boy.
Baby Spice, not surprisingly, born January 76. And Scary Spice, May of 79. So it is.
So Scary Spice actually is the baby.
I would say she's the oldest.
But Ginger Spice is the oldest.
Ginger looks old.
Yeah.
72.
Check the expiration date on the... Ginger there.
On the ginger? Does ginger go bad?
Song.
Or is that like honey? Does it not go bad?
Oh, I'm sure it goes bad.
Ginger does?
Yeah.
It's a root.
If you buy it like as a root,
yeah. Yeah, it's organic.
You got to get it, the garlic shaver, though. Like, it's the root, and you just a little bit, and you tap it, get it off.
Yeah, I'm sure that expires.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's go to the call, 617-779-0985. Bill in Leominster. Thanks for being on the show today. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Adam Jones is here. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I got two things about Sharona and your GM. This is why they suck. Because they don't care about Boston. They just want the money to go put it in their Europe crap. And your GM, he's just here to totally be controlled. That's it. He ain't going to do I'm going to swear, but he ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
So I would.
Good restraint.
This organization has too much pride to have it be like it was last year. They hired some fluke manager, even though he's a nice guy. Give me a break. Okay, listen. Get someone in there with some gonads who could run the club, put someone in their place when they need to be put in place, and get some pitchers with some gonads. When they got a little boo-boo, they can go out and pitch on the mound. All right? Then you guys will be better off where you're at, and you'll be in first place again. You should run this division. The Rays in the World Series, I'm a Yankees fan. I'm disgraced. I'm embarrassed. That's pathetic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing Red Sox and Yankees growing up in Leominster. You know, not this stuff. It needs to go back to where it was. It needs to get some gonads and let everyone know they're back.
That's who do you want the manager to be?
Anyone who it is.
What do you want? A guy like Buck Showalter? Or like you talking about that type?
How about Alex Cora? Would you have him back, Bill?
I don't know if I would have Cora back. He got a little bit, you know what I mean? But the players, he's still player. I need someone who's friends with the player at like 30% and cares about the club and winning at the rest of the percent.
Tito.
That's what they need. They need someone to grab someone by the throat, but not choke them and just let them know, listen, right, it's this way or the highway.
All right.
That's what Belichick did, and that's why it was Brady, too.
That's what he did. Belichick.
Yeah. Jones, are you a bring-back core guy?
No.
Okay.
Why not? Because he's a disgraced cheater. That's why.
I agree with that. It's like dirty. Like once you fire somebody and get rid of somebody, you don't bring them back.
Or is Houston bringing back A.J. Hinch?
Why do you want to do that dance again?
Why isn't Houston bringing back A.J. Hinch?
That's a good point.
Well, for the same reason that you just said, and for a reason that I would also apply to Alex Cora, nothing has changed. He didn't go back in time and uncheat. He is a disgraced cheater, and you can't rehire him after you fired him for being a disgraced cheater. They did not fire him because of what they thought was going to happen with the Red Sox investigation.
They mutually agreed to part ways.
They fired him because he was a disgraced cheater. Is he no longer a disgraced cheater?
You know what? I think that's the first question. When they hire Alex Cora, that should be the first question.
Are you still a disgraced cheater?
America, yeah. Alex, still a disgraced cheater?
Because...
Yes, no.
You parted ways or got fired, whatever, because you were a disgraced cheater.
Is that
no longer the case?
I'd also add this. Was he good at all in year two as a manager? No.
No.
The team was horrible to start the year. So, I don't know. He came in and he replaced John Farrell. I'm not sure a lot of people couldn't have done that. So, was that about anything Alex Cora did, or was that about the lack of John Farrell managing the team? And then in year two, they missed the playoffs and he wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And he was a big reason why they weren't very good.
Well, let me.
He thought he could save all the pitchers and they'd figure it out in the middle of the year, and they never figured it out. So, a lot of them missing the playoffs is on him. I don't need him back now.
Okay, maybe this will sway you a little bit.
No.
Christian Vasquez actually wants him to come back. Here's what he said. This was on Facebook Live. And he said, I would love if Alex comes back. We would play it for you, but it's in Spanish, and I don't know that we all speak Spanish.
Oh. I took French.
I
did. I took 3 years French.
My daughter needed help with her French homework the other night. I
C'est
bon. Called you.
Je m'appelle Scott.
C'est bon.
You speak French also? It was I ended up calling my sister. It was either my sister or Phil Perry. The only two people I thought were enough to
I don't speak French. I took Spanish French in high school. Did very
he looks like he went to Milton Public Schools.
He looks like a Frenchie.
Yeah, French immersion. He said, I would love if Alex were to come back. I think Alex brought so many positive things to the team. We need a leader to continue, and Alex is a leader. He said that he listens and understands. He knows so much about baseball. He's like a father to all of us. He brought us together, the team, in 2018. Having the year we had, I think he deserves another opportunity to return to a winning team as manager. I think he deserves that.
So the team's a winner now, huh? It looks like a winning team.
Well, he said he deserves to go to a winning team, so maybe he shouldn't come here. Maybe that's Vasquez saying he should go to the White Sox or something like that.
He listens and understands the players. It's like, listen to me. I want to cheat. Do you understand that? He said, I hear you.
I was a better hitter when he was here.
Yeah.
You should have seen the cheating that we did in Houston. Let me bring a little of that to the Red Sox. Oh, now, how much coax do you have? If you have enough coax cable, we can run it all the way from the back of the park down here to near the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And this is going to help you guys cheat.
Yeah. You guys got any trash cans we can break out here? Yeah, no. You want to cheat. I'll show you how to cheat. You've never seen cheat
before.
Don't
rip off the jersey. Don't rip off the jersey. I just can't believe that. Like, don't rip off the jersey.
So much surprise, I guess, that a player would want him back. Of course. Your boss was okay with you cheating.
They all
want
him back.
In fact, he showed you how to do it.
He was cool. We were cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he likes Carlos Beltran, too, by the way. I would love for him and the bench coach to be Carlos Beltran.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I would love Alex Cora to return. I thought that's why.
Double whammy.
Yeah. I missed the Beltran part. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Later in the chat, he even named his preferred bench coach, Carlos Beltran.
Nice. I mean, just get back to cheating.
Like, obvious, completely over the top, disgraced cheaters cheating.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it because they need to counter all this bet stuff.
Here's
and
the
that's
question.
The only way they could get attention without spending money on players.
If the Red Sox make that move, what do the Patriots do to counter it? They're like, Red Sox are making some inroads.
That's not. I don't think that's
extend,
how. I
don't, Ryan Izzo.
I don't think that's how they view things.
It's got a camera in the press box, boys.
I don't think that's how they view things in Foxborough, and that was a big misunderstanding. More of your calls and more with Adam Jones here as we continue Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometimes, yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can't do this, Jim. This is where we went to the Rick Astley commentary the other day, which exploded. Then it's going to be, what's better, Bruce Hornsby being a Ranger, Tupac? Who does it better? Because you have like
Lake, two different songs.
Fantastic Voyage, Lakeside, and Coolio. It's the way it is. Some things never change.
I like the Bruce Hornsby version, yeah.
I do too.
Super Freak or Can't Touch This.
Can't Ooh. Touch This.
Come on.
It's Hammer time. That made Hammer.
Yeah. Well,
Hammer don't hurt
Super
him.
Freak made Rick James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made Dave Chappelle.
Which I look at Rick James at the Dave Chappelle when I
ipso facto.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the call. 617-779-0985. George is in Boston, wants to talk about Mookie Betts. What's going on, George?
Hello, George.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Georgie. Hey, George Reno.
Well, I think I got to start off by saying I don't think it took the World Series to know that trading the second-best player in the league in what amounted to basically a salary dump is a massive, massive organizational failure. But I think it's worth pointing out that one of the guys that we were initially going to get, Bruce Saldratterall, who was, I remember everyone called him just a relief pitcher who might be a little bit too chubby to make an impact and got switched out because of medicals, is now also playing in the World Series and also a pretty big contributor to the team that's got a
very big,
pretty real chance of bringing home a ring this year. So go ahead.
I mean, thank you. Didn't somebody call?
Goodbye, George.
Didn't somebody
Goodbye.
Call? What was it? Monday we
Goodbye.
Were on.
Goodbye.
Said the Red Sox did good. They got good exchange for that trade, but Gratterall was supposed to be the prize that they got in return.
Right,
and it didn't happen.
No,
George.
No. George. But you like Verdugo. Good.
It's been good.
Not
yeah,
me. He
good.
Does.
Good.
Jones
good.
Does.
Ate it all.
You know what?
Ate it all hasn't been all that good. He's got a 4.76
ERA. Dances with Wolves moment for you. Good trade. Good trade.
He hasn't been that
good. Your captain's
hat. I'm just saying.
What are you going to do, Tecumseh?
When we first got Verdugo here, we're like, oh my God, this guy. You can't even put this guy on the field with some of the stuff that's following him around. And then,
he got exciting. He was exciting to watch.
He played pretty well. That's all I'm saying.
Sneaky injuries like the broken back.
I don't want to get accused of being, yeah, exactly, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, a underlying injury like, you know, a broken back. And, yeah, I get accused of being glass half empty, unfairly. And I think this was me trying to bring, you know, some positivity to the trade there. So now you jumped down my throat.
Not at all. Not at all. We just feel differently about it. Joe in the truck on Cam Newton. What do you got, Joe?
Hi, Joe.
Well, first I want to say, I was sitting in my kitchen yesterday, and a bird flew into my window, fell to the ground, and died in front of me.
What?
A bird flew into his window.
A bird killed itself.
Yeah, and it died on the ground in front of him.
So a bird snapped its neck. What else you got?
Cam Newton, so what Rich was saying this morning, that he got hit during the game, and his numbers went down from 10 yards per pass, 3 yards per pass.
I was watching that. No, Perry brought it up. He got the video on it. Bob and I talked about that on the broadcast. The referee kept going to him after that. Cam looked down at his hand, but he seemed fine after that to me. He wasn't really – it took about a series. He shook it off and seemed fine.
Did he?
No. I mean, physically fine, not to where he had to come out of the game or, oh, crap, we got somebody medically looking at it on the sideline. I watched him. They didn't even look at the hand on the sideline.
All right, so that was just somebody just making –
it happens all the time. Guys throw their hands off helmets.
Joe, I can't do Joe. Windows down in the truck. Goodbye, Joe. Goodbye.
I don't know what kind of bird that was, though. What kind of bird's out there at the time of year?
Cam's doing better than the bird.
That's not necessary. And you knew what he meant when he said that, you know, he's fine.
I didn't think he was very good after that.
You know what some people are starting to get a little bit annoyed with?
What?
The length of time it takes him to get out there because he's getting dressed after the game.
Oh.
It's a long time. It is delaying everyone's work day by quite a bit.
It's like the old Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo stare down. Like, who's gonna talk to the media last? Like, I'm gonna take forever. I'm gonna get my medical treatment. I'm gonna get all dressed up and then
make sure that
I go
bow tie
last.
Straight.
I'm the alpha. Well, you I'm the dumb. Glasses. I'm the dumb.
Well, how many people outside of the fifth quarter is it annoying?
I didn't get that from fifth quarter people.
Mm. Well, you personally,
it's annoying.
Personally,
it's annoying me.
Oh,
it annoyed
me Sunday.
On that post game show, you remember doing that, Jones?
Oh yeah, those post game interviews were a godsend.
Well, they are, but you're not allowed. I don't want to get, you know, nuts and bolts too much.
Oh,
but
let's get nuts and bolts.
There is you cannot break on the Patriots.com post game show until at least one or preferably both of the post game interviews are done between the coach and quarterback. It's something technical that goes on. So that means our first segment in the postgame show, I believe on Sunday, ran 52 minutes in length.
Ours is about 40 on fifth quarter. Yeah, we're about the same.
52 minutes.
Don't you guys order food doing that? Don't you guys have like an 11-minute break on food?
No, that is on the unfiltered show. I don't know what it is, a podcast or something. I don't know. They take an 11-minute break during a podcast to eat lunch.
Nice.
Yeah. We get 90 seconds two or three times during that. 2 hours.
So you have to wait until Cam talks?
We have to wait until at
Cam
least,
or Bill.
At least Bill talks, and they were both a little late, but they were waiting on Cam, and he just never showed up, and they said, fine, break.
The worst ones were when pre-pandemic we're traveling with the team, and the ones where Bill wouldn't come out, or he would. It became a game where if they got their butts kicked,
Bill would run out there. Yeah.
Come out. I'd barely get down there towards the end of it. And no more questions. And I'm like, what do you mean he's up already? And when they win, it comes out about an hour after it.
Mm-hmm.
It's back and forth. So yep. There was never really any consistency there.
We have two questions about quarterbacks. And one of the most famous questions ever asked on this show on the radio station, which is, why is it so hard to be a quarterback in the NFL? That was asked of Scott Zolak years ago.
It's a liner. Like, it's one of our promos.
But we have two quarterback questions, which we will get to, and we'll also get to the Super Bowl. Perhaps moving the possibility that it could move on the calendar
for that,
and Tom Brady, special Halloween segment on Tom Brady. Perhaps he's dealing in the supernatural. We have evidence presented to us by one of our friends at Barstool, I believe, presented us with the evidence. So we'll get to all of that here in our fourth and final hour after Jones and his 90-second hub headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.